Do you know what time of year it is? It is too fucking hot in my room. O'clock. So the shirt is coming off.
Yes.
Yes.
Whoever wants to join me.
I can smell you through the microphone, baby.
Exactly right. As you should. As you should.
So at what point do you cave and like jerry-rig some kind of air conditioning unit with some dry ice and a fan?
You know what? I don't know why. I have this thing against it. I honestly don't fuck. I think this year I'm going to bite the bullet.
Yes.
And get a proper fucking cooling thing. But I wanted to get a like a standing... oh my God, say it with me. A fucking standing fan thing. The one that rotates.
Yeah, yeah.
The like, tower ones. Uh-huh. Yeah, but for some reason I can't fucking find one to save my life that actually would suit, you know, my room. So
they
yeah,
suit no rooms. They're
tall.
All incredibly ugly and cost, what, like €5 or whatever the fuck? And they break every 30 minutes. Just get a normal AC or whatever type of thing that you can install in your apartment. Trust me.
Fair enough. I'll take a look into it.
He's like,
that aside, though,
for the listeners, like, Hakim is literally the most masochistic fucking person that I've ever met in my life. Like, obviously, thanks to all you beautiful patrons and the support and so on, he could very much so make a nice little setup for himself to be comfortable. But no, true passion comes from struggle, and
exactly
he
right.
shall struggle. So yeah, he records under beds, under in caves, like under cars. Like,
dude, because of how I used to study for so fucking long, and then afterwards, because of the way I used to carry my bag, which was full of heavy as shit books, most of it, sadly, non-theory, I wish, but most of it medical. I fucked up my back in such a way that I'm going to rehab, like a physiotherapy rehabilitation later in the month.
My theory that,
so I
that Hakim is literally a grandpa
back.
Is like getting proved every day more and more.
You know that yeah. you know that oh. Saddam meme where it's like it shows the tunnel network and then the red outline of Saddam. It's like Saddam. We're gonna make merch of that. It's like a bed and then a red icon of Hakim under the bed, just labeled Hakim.
Oh my God! Honestly, you know what? Let's see if the people want it. Yeah. If the people desire, then yeah, we will deliver. Boys, I have a story. It is not a good story.
Oh no!
But yeah, so do brace. All right, so I get this patient. It's a patient story. Yes, I get this old man who's been a smoker his whole life, and he has just generic pain basically that he showed up to the emergency ward with. And I'm looking through his journal, and I'm like, oh, he did a CT recently. Very interesting. He's been losing lots of weight, and you know, so the suspicion was that he's developing cancer, or has developed cancer. Mm. So I decided to, just for you know the memes, I guess, to take a look at the image, the CT image. And this man has dozens of metastatic nodules in his body. He's very, very sick. He just doesn't know it. And that's the thing. He didn't know it because I was seeing him on a Monday and he did the scan on a Friday. For some reason, they booked the session like to tell him like a month ahead for some reason.
What
I don't know
the
why.
Fuck?
Yeah,
what
exactly.
The fuck?
Very bad planning. So I walk into this room. I've barely said two sentences to this guy, and I'm just looking down very nonchalant at his chart. I'm not even making eye contact. Yeah. I was like, yeah, and about these metastatic nodules you have. And this guy just looks like, what?
Oh,
he just looks up.
Right. Oh, fuck. Oh,
like,
shit.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck
yeah,
my
like, oh,
fucking
fuck
oh god.
Oh my god. And then he
just ripped it off like a band-aid at least.
I know. Oh my god. I felt so fucking bad. And then I paused for a second. I was like, you didn't know?
Oh Jesus Christ. Oh my god.
Oh my god. Yes, it's as bad as you think. And then I was like, wait, what the fuck? I thought somebody like you'd think somebody would say.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. Anyways, so I told
a dude he's gonna die super casually
yeah.
today.
Yeah,
what a fucking
then,
day, bro. Jesus then, Christ.
Oh my god.
I guess the people who scheduled the reveal need, it's like a gender reveal party, except it's a cancer
yeah,
reveal.
Exactly.
They needed a month to plan everything.
Oh my
and
god.
You just waltz
yeah, so,
in. Hey, you got cancer.
No, no. I tore them and you asshole afterwards.
Good.
I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Why would you put me in that position? My God. And you know, it was like tangentially relevant. Is that even right? Tangentially, I think so. It was like loosely relevant to his current, you know,
yeah.
Issue. So that's why I even mentioned it in the first place. Otherwise, I wouldn't have. But yeah, anyways. So he was a good sport afterwards. As good of a sport as you could be,
yeah,
I guess. He knew. He smoked his whole fucking
yeah.
life. So to turn a negative into a positive, don't smoke, please. You got naked, don't smoke, please. I'll fuck with you. Oh my God.
But anyways, maybe that's the main reason I smoke, to cut this whole existence a bit shorter.
Well,
but I don't have the courage to just do it instantly.
Wow.
No, it's really fucking terrifying. And I the older I get, ignore the smoking. I only smoke when I go out or whatever, which is obviously bad, and I should fucking stop. But at least I don't smoke on a daily basis or whatever the fuck. So basically, once or twice a week. But then I smoke like a fucking chimney, and I smoke the whole fucking pack. But whatever, easily in a night, maybe sometimes a pack and a half. But even ignoring the smoking or whatever, it's as years pass. My body isn't changing that much, at least not for now. Probably some old farts listening, and I'm like, oh, wait, when you're 40 and then you'll see. But what I'm trying to say is, as I'm getting older, the same random pains or random sensations that are not something that you feel, every day of the week, whenever they come through my body now because I'm older, I always immediately think, oh my God, I'm fucking dying. This is a 2 meter long tumor that's developing in my right nutsack every single time something happens, and this is happening when I'm right. Imagine what kind of a fucking crazy hypochondriac I'm gonna be when I'm 40, 50. So I will very much so rely on you, Hakim, to keep telling me that I'm healthy and not accidentally tell me that I have fucking whatever 10 tumors in my fucking left toe.
I would do with a little bit more grace. But don't worry, no, I'll take care of you. We get these grown men a lot of times where there's nothing wrong with them. They're as healthy as can be, but they're just worried all the time, so they come in. But about the, what's it called? We were random pain. It might be a huge tumor. I think I told you guys this story. I think I even mentioned it on the podcast once. But one day we had a not too old lady, maybe in her 60s, who showed up with very generic stomach pain, right? Then we're like, there's something that's not exactly, nothing, something's not adding up. So we decide to send her for a scan, and we find out that she has almost a melon sized
tumor
in her stomach. It was fucking huge. By the way, no, I don't mean a watermelon. I mean what's it called? A cantaloupe?
Yeah. Yeah. Still, still huge. That's like a volleyball.
Yeah, to get
the size of the usual balls that Hakim feels.
Exactly right. Exactly. But yeah, alhamdulillah, it doesn't happen too often. But we do see it on occasion. It's very interesting.
Cancer generally pretty fucking rare, but because it's so soul crushing, it's somebody in your family line or a friend it happens to, the vibe gets, the vibe
it's
creates.
Rare, no.
Oh, it's not rare? Okay.
No, I would say, for example, if any man who reaches the age of 85 has some microscopic amount of prostatic cancer, for example. It's a good, at least it's a very good assumption to make. And the vast majority of these cancers, when you're at that age, aren't even dealt with because you're not going to live long enough to see the consequences of the tumor.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to die from other causes before.
Silver lining.
Yeah, exactly. But it is, cancer is more of a lifestyle thing. And this is kind of semi-controversial, but the research is going this way now, that cancer is more of a lifestyle disease rather than anything else.
Huh.
So if you're to eat right, you're to exercise, you try to avoid, unnecessary sources of, for example, radiation. And now this may sound silly, but it depends on where you live.
So don't open the demon core that I've got on my
desk. Right.
Okay.
Exactly right. For example, there are some very old buildings that people live on that have more radium in the bricks things like that. Anyways, aside from this generic thing, though, I guess I can have a PSA. There's something loosely referred to as B symptoms. Now, B symptoms are usually for specifically lymphomas, but they are generally okay for suspicions of other cancers. They include three things mainly: fever of unexplained origin, usually is what it's referred to in medical literature. Night sweats, so you just sweat a lot at night, unexplained throughout the year or throughout several months, you just without explanation. And weight loss, specifically weight loss when you're not trying to lose weight. For example, you're eating like normal, your activity level hasn't changed, etc., but you've gone down in the past 3-4 months, you've gone down 8 kilos, right?
Wow.
This is something that you should maybe take a look at.
That's so depressing.
There you go. That,
turn a frown
Thanks,
upside
Dr.
down.
Hakeem.
Thank you, Dr. Hakeem. Turn a frown upside down. Like, imagine how many people like are working their fucking ass off to lose some fucking weight, and all of a sudden they start losing some fucking weight. Oh. They're like, "Fuck yeah, bro, cancer."
Oh, la,
cancer. You're gonna die.
Oh,
but that's so sad. As we say in my part of the world, you know, die young, be a pretty corpse.
Yeah.
Mm. Or in this case, a skinny one, I fucking guess.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You know, you guys, like, shave your body? I never asked you this. Because I, like, during the summer, I shave my stomach. Because, like, we discussed this? Did we discuss?
Yeah,
okay,
I remember when you got, like, basically razor burn all over
your
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so there's an update to this. I bought, like, a real good, like, actual shaver thingy, which, by the way, like, trimmer, but, by the way, never use on your balls. Like, every man knows, like, do not use on your fucking balls. But no, now I trimmed, you know, my tummy area, and I looked at myself in the mirror. I'm like, damn, like, I don't look bad, you know, because I got a lot of fucking hair. So I get, you know, it literally gave me a few centimeters on my belly or whatever the fuck, the little hair, which made me feel even chubbier than I am. And then I just shaved it off and looked at the mirror. I'm like, man, I'm a new man. What the fuck? So I guess a nice little aesthetic touch is always interesting, but I will never, ever in a million fucking years shave my beard off. I am one, like, ugly looking motherfucker without the beard.
Nonsense.
I'm still ugly with it, but dude, without it, I look. My girlfriend once, like, fucked me up so much. We went to, like, my childhood home to, like, see my grandma or whatever the fuck. And when she saw a picture of me, like, 14, 13 years old without a beard, she literally laughed for 10 fucking minutes.
Aww.
She's like, are you gonna make kids this ugly? Like, are you gonna put kids this ugly in me? I am still traumatized from that fucking response. So I'm eternally scared. I never shave my beard by myself. I only let my hairstylist do it because I'm afraid if I fuck it up, I will have to shave the whole thing off and she will leave me.
Yeah.
She will literally leave me. So, you know, I'm very careful. It's a difficult territory to tread.
Here's what you do. You shave your stomach again. You keep that in a jar. If you accidentally mess up your beard, you just take a little bit of glue and you stick it to your face. No one will be the wiser. Howdy, everybody. Episode 83 of the Deprogram. Today, we've got a lovely one for you. We're talking about Meatball Ron. We're talking about Rhonda Sandwich. We're talking about everybody's favorite Florida man. we laugh because otherwise we'd have to cry. This man is a world-class piece of shit. Like,
Jesus. I mean,
you probably know he's, you know, he's a conservative in Florida. Obviously, he's going to be not the greatest kind of person, but doing research for exactly all of his crimes against humanity has been sickening. So this is going to be quite a long one, I expect. We've got a lot to go through here. I'm scrolling through our notes, but I guess we're going to take it from the very beginning, from the early days, all the way up to today, and the stuff that he's doing. For those who aren't aware, for our non-U.S. Audience. Ron DeSantis is the governor of Florida, and he is running on the Republican side for president of the United States. His competition is obviously Donald Trump, and then like Nikki Haley and some guy who calls himself the CEO of anti-woke. So it's not a very close race. Donald Trump is by far the favorite. Ron DeSantis would be the number two pick for a lot of Republicans. I'm not sure what the current numbers are. Anytime Ron opens his mouth, he kind of embarrasses himself against Donald Trump. Trump is routinely like, he'll go on Truth Social, say something like absurdly stupid, and everybody will love it and think that Ron's an idiot. So everybody knows how bad Trump is. We figured we'd dive in and look at Meatball Ron. So you got Nick, you had the fun part, I guess. His pre-political career. What did little Ronnie look like? Was he always this awful? Tell the people exactly who we're dealing with here.
Absolutely. I like reading more about this fucking dude because it was a typical uninformed American. Literally turned my stomach because it's all like it's. anime evil fucking character type of behavior that this motherfucker exhibits. And, you know, his the story about the borderline evil anime character begins in a place which sounds as real as Naruto. Jacksonville. I can't even pronounce it, as you can see. Like, if Jacksonville exists, my name is John Smith. But DeSantis was born to two parents.
No way.
Karen and Ronald. Yes. One is called Karen and the other one is fucking Ronald Reagan. They live in Jacksonville. This is a great fucking beginning of the whitest fucking human being on planet Earth. Shit writes itself. Sorry. His mother's family name, Rogers, was chosen by her grandfather when he immigrated from Italia. So don't forget, DeSantis is a person of color. Okay. Continuing, DeSantis' parents met at Youngstown State University and later moved to Jacksonville before settling in Dunedin, Florida. He has a younger sister, Christina, who unfortunately passed away in 2015. DeSantis attended Catholic school, of course, oh, fucking surprise, and later Dunedin High School, where he played on the baseball team. He went on to study history at Yale University at very, very good grades, where he was the captain of the varsity baseball team and a member of the Delta Kappa Epsilon fraternity. After graduating, Magna comes the loudest from Yale in 2001. He taught history and coached at Darlington School in Georgia for a year, probably so that, you know, his CV was decent for Harvard afterwards. And then he obviously went to Harvard Law School, where he earned his Juris Doctor degree, comes loudest, in 2005. I love how like savage one of my friends was when we were graduating. He like had super shitty grades, and so many of these people like worked their asses off so they cum laude, magna cum laude, or whatever the other term was. So at the end, you know, when everybody's graduating and they tell, you know, the cum laude to stand up, and that's like your moment, you know, you get to stand up, all the others sit who are not cum laude. This fucking savage just stood up both on cum laude and magna cum laude and every fucking thing. He wasn't even wearing the chair. He was like, fuck these doors. He was fucking drunk out of his mind. I apologize. But okay. This is where this guy gets a boring story about what is basically a mega nerd takes a very, 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 very dark turn. At the age of 27, he becomes a Navy lawyer fresh out of Harvard Law School when he arrived at the U.S. military base, and I shit you not, in fucking Guantanamo Bay.
Ah, shit.
Fucking Guantanamo. As part of a team of so-called military lawyers, DeSantis provided legal advice on how to deal with hunger strikes by detainees, illegally kept detainees. He suggested, and again, I can't believe I'm saying, because like this is like evil, like fucking, like literal anime shit. He suggested force-feeding them as a possible solution, which was ultimately authorized by the Pentagon, a practice quite literally defined as torture by pretty much all international conventions ever, except I think by the US and Israel, which, oh my God,
yeah, what a great
company to have. DeSantis obviously rarely speaks in depth about his experiences at Guantanamo and has largely skimmed over his involvement in his book that we will later fucking notice however, you know, his time at the base appears to have definitely shaped his views on politics, on conflict, and the Constitution. One would think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that, you know, one begins to doubt the sanctity of one's country after visiting one of the darkest, most depraved institutions in the world. Yeah. But no, our boy seems to have, like, liked it a lot. He constantly defends the U.S.'s decision to imprison detainees without formal charges and has advocated for keeping the prison open. And I know some people, like, deep down in their head, they're like, okay, almost every fucking country does this. And yes, they pretty much do, but to the extent of Guantanamo, only because the Americans have both the fucking depravity of the Pentagon, but also because they have the funds and the surveillance state to execute this sort of operation, it literally makes it one of the most fucked up places on planet Earth. And not only because of how it operates and the fact that it uses torture and so on,
yeah.
It's also because it's like they're super professional in torturing and like making people eat their own shit, right? But they suck at actually finding, like, quote unquote, the people they're looking for. Like, it has a ridiculously unsatisfactory level of the people that they put there and torture and blah blah blah. An insane amount of those people, like, turns out that they had fucking nothing, absolutely nothing to do with any like fucking violent cell.
Like, the track record of torture is just so bad. Like, the information you're going to get out, obviously, if someone starts peeling my fingernails off, I'm going to tell them whatever they want to hear.
Absolutely,
I'm going to crack immediately. But also, it's incredibly hypocritical to run this, you know, torture program just, you know, hidden out of sight of the average American, and also while claiming to be this bastion of freedom and truth in the world. Yeah, it's gross.
But not only this, it's, of course, you have to remember that the point isn't to find people. This is just a sick attempt of imposing, some level of barbarity. Mm. Of American, personnel, so that they can be trained in this first and foremost. Honestly, I don't think we should be as naive as to assume they didn't know that these people are innocent, right? But who's going to care about some guy who like ran a fruit stand in Afghanistan that they picked up in on the border and then sent him to some
as training
hellhole? exactly. In some black site that nobody knows about and where no legal, recourse exists. But yeah, you go, Nick, please go on.
Well put. Former detainees that we just mentioned, but also defense lawyers and human rights advocates, have obviously criticized DeSantis for his actions at Guantanamo and his refusal to express concern or question his own role at all in everything which transpired. Former detainees have claimed that DeSantis personally witnessed the force feeding, and one detainee alleged that DeSantis stood among others who were smiling at him while he was being force-fed. To make things even fucking worse, DeSantis was also involved in the investigation of three detainee deaths that occurred at Guantanamo in 2006, a very famous case at that time. The deaths were officially ruled as simultaneous coordinated suicides by hanging, but the findings are disputed by detainee attorneys and human rights groups.
Hold on, but not only that, but the few times that he was asked about this, and specifically that, not now in his campaign trail, but when he was still a lawyer in this nonsense, he every single time would give a contradictory version of the story. So it's beyond. There's no universe in which this was they beat some people to death and were like, oh shit, all right, bring the rope, let's make it look.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Just look at what the U.S. does. I mean, look at the stuff that happened at Abu Ghraib and stuff like that. It's like, these people were murdered by the torturers. Yeah.
I mean, generally, like, DeSantis' experience at Guantanamo had such, like, a fucking big, as we can see, and we will talk about later, his whole campaign and so on, had such a profound influence on him that it's I'm sorry for repeating myself, but a literal dude that worked at a torture factory, okay, is running for president of the world's most powerful country.
Land of the free,
country.
Baby. Land of the free.
Disney supervillain shit. Like, how is this real? Like, are all Americans are fucking fent or some fucking shit?
Yes.
You have a torture guy. We got a torture guy running. Imagine if another fucking country did this. Okay. Anyways, let's continue. Later on, after graduating from Harvard, just like all of these buddy buds do, he went on to quote-unquote get deployed together with the army, something his PR campaign plays very, very hard on, even though he was literally a lawyer advising the thumbs of all thumbs, though I have to admit, thumbs with some skills, but yeah, thumbs nonetheless, the fucking Navy SEALs. This little weasel of a man continuing his long career path of finding legal loopholes for Americans to fuck up brown people or, step on fucking babies or whatever, mostly in this case in Hakim's homeland, became his kind of specialty. Shit like human rights breaking is, I guess, his quite literal defining line of expertise, which, by the way, as again, a small side tangent. The U.S. Army has so much money that it fucking sends lawyers to the countries they invade so that they can cover their asses. Literal militarized Reddit energy. And how the fuck is anybody supposed to win against this shit? Like, you got Russians fighting in Bakhmut with fucking shovels, and over here the Yanks got lawyers and entire like fast food chains that follow like their whole military around the globe. You know,
but they still get kicked out by peasants.
Yeah, exactly.
Every time.
Fucking fascinating. But yeah, yeah. Sorry, go on.
I just want to add on to the his stint in Iraq. So yeah, this very pleasant individual decided to pay us a visit, and he was apparently the legal advisor to SEAL Team One, which is apparently some sort of I guess elite team of some sort. And he came during the 2007 troop surge, particularly serving in Fallujah, which, if people don't know, is basically like the ground zero almost for the post-invasion Iraqi resistance to the American invasion. Fallujah now is known first and foremost as a site of massacres carried out by the American forces. They were known to shoot indiscriminately into crowds, killing dozens of people. Again, indiscriminately, not without, you know.
But only after asking DeSantis, they were like, yo, bro, like, he's holding kind of a rock, and like the shadow of the rock
exactly,
is making it look like a gun. Is it okay? And DeSantis like, fuck yeah, shoot his kids too, bro.
Exactly. I love the fucking Reddit jackasses who are like, oh, but you're literally invading another country. Yeah. You're going to be surprised when somebody throws a rock at you, you dumb fuck. My God. Anyways, but yeah, this continuous, basically, like, pattern of massacres carried out by the Americans spurred the insurgency, unsurprisingly. And in response, the U.S. did what it did best, which is basically flatten the city, which is, by population, if you want to just get a rough estimate of the size, is as big as either Boise, Idaho, if you're a Yank, or Ljubljana in Slovenia, for your base. So it's not a huge city, but it's not a small city either.
Yeah.
Anyways, the city is currently littered with mass graves that are discovered every couple of months almost at this point. One of the biggest ones that was found was in 2011, if I remember correctly. And it was a mass grave where they found prisoners that were tied together by rope and thrown into a pit and then shot by American
Jesus
forces.
Christ.
This doesn't even get on doesn't even cover white phosphorus use or any other war crimes. But in good news, just to raise your spirits, the city was never actually like properly controlled by Americans. They tried many times to basically control it, and all they could do is kill people and bomb it. But whenever they thought they pacified groups, the resistance would strike back again. And it was, to my knowledge, if not the biggest, and one of the biggest sites of U.S. military deaths. So Rip Bozo, rest in peace.
Dancing.
Pack watch. Exactly.
Hogwatch. Hogwatch.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah. Anyways, after that, he was honorably discharged and then came home and became a fucking career bureaucrat in Florida. But anyway, sorry. Go on. You got me. I just wanted to give some context.
Yeah, absolutely. After his stint in Cuba and Guantanamo and his little touristy visit to stomp on a few babies in Iraq, he went on to marry a news anchor who, of course, after a 15-year career, probably totally super spontaneously decided she wanted to become a stay-at-home mom. He wrote a book in 2011 where he, of course, defends the founding fathers for allowing slavery, because this is not even surprising at this motherfucking point. The dude made people eat their... Okay. And also not only defended slavery, but I love this one, questioned fucking Obama's Christian religion. He actually makes arguments that were, well, you know, he's very
classic,
eloquently explaining that there's no way this Obama can be a Christian like us. The book, by the way...
His middle name is Hussein.
Absolutely.
Hussein
Obama.
Sorry.
This book, by the way, is super hard to find now. I fucking wonder why. Definitely nothing to do with a fucking presidential run. Anyways, he went on to become a senator in 2012, and this is, you know, where my overview of this incredible combination of expired mayonnaise and fascism comes to a close. The shit we do for content, I can't believe all this stuff is in my fucking head now. You guys listening better be fucking grateful, I swear to God. Though also, we gave you the curse, so now it's in your fucking head.
You're welcome.
Exactly. I was gonna say, I take over for this part. I'm gonna cover his political career until now. Excuse me. But one thing that really stands out to me is he's only 44 years old, and he is one of the oldest 44-year-old looking people I've ever. He looks ancient. If you look at the photos when he was in Guantanamo, or when he was about to go serve in Guantanamo when he was 27 years old, he looks like just as old, if not even old. I don't fucking. It's problematic aging. I don't know what to tell you.
Vampire, perhaps? Evil vampire? Could be.
Potentially.
Like, a combination with, I think... pastor, but not those nice, lovely pastors, but those guys in mega churches that, like, milk people for thousands of hard-earned money.
Yeah, no, he's like 20% cheese, and the rest of it is just fucking, I don't know, nylon and whatever fucking... whatever they keep, whatever it can, whatever it can keep the hate in without it seeping too much into the water supply. Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, the you have to give a fantastic, absolutely fantastic overview of his early life. So I'm gonna move on to his 2012 career onwards. In 2012, he defeated six candidates in the Republican primary, and also defeated the Democratic Democrat nominee Heather Beaven in the general election. So he was elected in 2014 and 2016. Already in 2016, he wanted to run for president at the time, and one group that wanted to support him was, I guess, an organization, you can call it, called Club for Growth. It's the one that's supporting his current bid for presidency, too. Now, this group is a lobbying group that was founded by two billionaires in order to push, I just hazard a guess, okay? The tax cuts, he wants to repeal estate tax specifically, so Yanni, you like no inheritance tax, and no when you die, nothing that you leave behind is taxed.
Yeah.
Increased privatization, he wants to, this organization wants to repeal greenhouse gas emission legislation. Think of some pro-capitalist bullshit, and that's what they're for, honestly.
Yeah.
He, in 2013... kind of together with this, he signed something called the No Climate Tax Pledge, which was against so-called tax hikes to fight global warming. This group also, by the way, had a big thing where they're like, we need to pull out from the Paris Accords, we need to pull out from this climate policy, we need to pull out from this and that and that. And he's kind of like adopted all of these in his own way, but he's trying really hard to not be pushed into the quote-unquote climate denier camp, quote-unquote climate change denier. But he's like, don't lump me in with the left climate believers either. It's incredibly contradictory. It's like you can't have your cake and eat it too. Yeah. You can either be with these Republican crazies and not. By the way, there's nothing crazy about it. These people have direct material interest in wanting to deregulate.
None of them actually give a shit about climate change, whether it exists or not.
Yeah, this is not a conspiracy theory. These people stand to make a lot of money from, what's it called, not having climate change legislation passed. So, yeah. Anyways, he also voted in favor of something called H.R. 45, which basically was an attempt to repeal the Affordable Care Act in 2013. So, this is also something that he's kind of pushing forward during his current bid, where he wants to essentially try to repeal healthcare, or even, for example, healthcare for elderly, healthcare for... It's such a bizarre fucking push, because it appeals, and this is kind of reflects the American political system, it reflects the interest of such a small slither of the very top of the American population, because the vast majority of Americans want healthcare, want universal healthcare of some kind. So it kind of betrays his motivations and what he... who he's trying to gain the support of and whose interests he's trying to serve. Anyways, in 2015, he also founded something called the Freedom Caucus.
Freedom Cucks.
Ironically.
More Freedom Cucks.
The Freedom Cucks, more like.
Yeah.
which is basically, it was a group of congressional conservatives and libertarians, and it's considered to be the most far-right bloc within the current House Republican Conference, which is, quite an achievement. The overturn window is already so fucking so far-right in the U.S. But yeah, that same year, he also introduced something called the Let Seniors Work Act, which so basically won. it basically attempted to repeal incentives to retire. So instead, old people would be kept
working. Getting more evil.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, it's like this thing where sometimes I see videos on YouTube or on Twitter where it's like an 85-year-old person working at McDonald's.
Heartwarming.
Like, what the
they
fuck?
Banded together to buy him a shitty old car so he could keep working. Like, that's not heartwarming.
It's like this 92-year-old man, fucking, we bought him a new lawnmower.
Yeah.
We're going to keep paying him $2 on the hour. Fuck me. Anyways, his tax policies are also very interesting. He's pushed for something. It's exactly what you expect. He's pushed for something called, hilariously actually, it's called fair tax. And it's a proposal for a single tax, like a single rate tax, where the IRS would be dismantled and all federal income taxes would be eliminated. So meaning corporate income taxes, capital gains taxes, otherwise payroll taxes, so like Social Security and Medicare, gift taxes, estate taxes. Think of it, basically, think of a tax he wants to get rid of. And instead, he wants to replace all of this with one single consumption tax on retail sales.
Wow.
So basically, he wants to have VAT on goods and no other taxes. Which is, by the way, incredibly logical. Yeah. The fucking budget will definitely stabilize after, you know, when you cut off like 90%.
Oh my God.
Anyways, their justification, the way that he's reasoned this is, he claims that, oh, rich people will buy more things since they're saving so much by not, you know, not paying these other taxes. So much of the money they're getting to keep. So they're like, you know, ass backwards logic. They would be increasing the tax burden on rich people this way because they're going to be buying a lot more stuff with the taxes that they otherwise would have had to give to the state.
God, that's so stupid.
So in a roundabout way, they think that would mean more taxes would end up. It's very fucking stupid and transparent, but he's been pushing this for at least like 10 years. Yeah. So, yeah. During the Republican primary, he the previous one, he emphasized his support for Trump at the time. He ran an ad where he's taking his kids and teaching them how to build a wall.
Oh, God.
Or to build the wall, excuse me. And then he gives his, you know, he looks into the camera and says, "Make America Great Again." Yes.
Cringe.
Sure. He was also asked several times, like, is there anything you disagree with on Trump, with Trump? And he always declines to say. He doesn't ever, like, he doesn't want friction with Trump, which is very interesting because he's kind of running against him.
That's still the case. Like, he's trying his best not to pick a fight with Trump. It's like, my guy, you're running against this dude, and he's just beating up on you. You're going to have to say something. Like, you're going to have to say, oh, he's...
No, he's
going to
split the Republican vote, guys. He's going to split. He's going to hand the. He's going to hand the vote. I'm sorry. In 2018, which was one day after his primary win, where very interestingly, one of his major supporters was the Florida Police Chiefs Association. So you know he's a good guy
because
these are the people who are supporting him. In a Fox News interview, he said, and I quote: "The last thing we need to do is to monkey this up by trying to embrace a socialist agenda with huge tax increases and bankrupting the state."
That's right.
And now this doesn't sound too bad until you realize that he said, oh, the last thing we want to do is monkey this up. And his Democratic rival, the person who's running against
him. Tell me, it was black. Of course.
And by the way, immediately after he said this, his PR team went into overdrive trying to figure out. And the best that they come up with was, we can't say anything. People also will say we're racist. Oh.
That ship has sailed there, partner.
Exactly, yeah. So cancel culture strikes again. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, fun fact also about him being supported by the Florida Police Chiefs Association. They contributed 40% of his funds. Google police 40% to learn more.
Exactly right. Shame that they didn't contribute.
Lamau.
Anyways, he also, one of his major things, like, I forgot to say, in 2021, so just a little while back, he, of course, announced that he wants to run for re-election. He won in Florida, and he also announced his bid to run for president again. He immediately proposed, after winning his Florida election, he immediately proposed legislation to impose restrictions on collaboration of Florida universities with Chinese academics and universities, like very, very typical things, obviously, you know. He said that he would, quote unquote, crack down on economic espionage by China. He signed two bills about this, actually. If you're unaware, this economic espionage thing is a conspiracy theory. It's not real. But what do you expect?
It's never stopped him before.
What do you expect from the guy who wants to implement the fair tax? He... In 2021, also in the middle of 2021, he led an effort to ban the teaching of critical race theory in Florida public schools. Now, what's very interesting is, if you're unaware, critical race theory is not part of the curriculum of Florida public schools. So he wants to ban something that's not being taught. And in like efforts towards this, he announced a new bill. And guys, please hold on to your seats. Listen to this fucking name. Stop, the bill is called Stop Wrongs to Our Kids and Employees Act, which in like when you acronym it, it's the Stop Woke Act. He must have thought he is so fucking clever for this bullshit. But whenever when you read Stop Wrongs to Our Kids, it sounds fucking stupid. All right. But anyways, the Stop Woke Act is supposed to allow parents in Florida to sue school districts.
Yeah.
That teach critical race theory, supposedly teach critical race theory. But it was blocked, thankfully. The reason is because apparently the text of it was so vague.
Yeah.
And he couldn't actually define what critical race theory is. So that's unsurprisingly. Amongst many of his other policies, it's, as you may expect, lower corporate income taxes to 5% or lower, which he managed. I think he got them down to like below 3%. He has plenty of anti-LGBT, anti-immigrant and healthcare, like, you know, defunding healthcare bills. He also introduced a $5,000 sign-on bonus for Florida police officers, basically an attempt to bring more cops into the state, like to attract out-of-state police recruits into Florida. $5,000 is a not insignificant amount of money, especially from a lot of Americans.
Yeah.
It pays to be a class traitor, apparently. Mm. Towards the end of 2021, he also announced that he would introduce $100 million in funding as a proposal for something called the Florida National Guard, which, by the way, I didn't know what the fuck this is, but. Basically, out of this $100 million, $3.5 million would go to reactivating the Florida State Guard, which is apparently a volunteer state like military.
I love it.
Like an actual military force, but for individual states. This has been inactive since 1947. Is this even fucking? Is this legal?
Probably not.
I don't know.
Is probably not legal. But yeah. It would be incredibly funny to see like the Florida State Guard take up arms against the Texas State Guard because like they think Texas is too
civil
woke or something.
War. Yeah. Civil yeah. war. Civil war. Balkanized. Let's go.
It's only a matter of time.
Oh my god. Inshallah. but yeah, I was surprised to see that this was even a thing. And the hypocrisy is hilarious.
Yeah.
Imagine that there was even like a multi-party system within the U.S. There isn't, but imagine. And imagine you had some like loose left-wing figure, like a Latin American left-wing type. And they were to be head of a state, win an election, then they tried to make their own little army.
Oh, yeah.
How quickly would that fucking state be overrun and destroyed? Yeah, I'm just... Anyways. In general, what it seems like is he has like generic populist, national conservative, evangelical, pro-market, anti-climate change-oriented policies. It's very far-right populist, but incredibly generic. He really tries to lean into that like respectability politics as well, despite the fact that a lot of his policies are really ridiculous. And this is one of the big failings of liberalism and liberals. It's no matter how horrible somebody is, if they still manage to fit in within like, you know, the confines of quote unquote, you know, good optics. Yes. Oh, but you know, he fucking, I don't know, he high-fived the basketball player. So cool,
he wore the suit. He has the hair. Yeah. He not orange.
Yeah, exactly. He wrote a book actually recently. It's called The Courage to be Free, Florida's Blueprint for America's Revival. Mm. It's a cringe book, basically, as you may imagine. And it's essentially just him bitching about everything being woke. typical conservacuck screeching. There's no substance to it. But yeah, apparently it sold really well. But it doesn't seem like people have actually read it. It seems like people support him. And they're just like, oh, this fucking...
Yeah,
you know,
they all. Well, that's what they always do. I think it was Ted Cruz who bought like 100,000 copies of his own book with his campaign funds. Yeah. It's like, they're just pumping the numbers.
Yeah, exactly. And
none of the people that vote for these fucking animals read or know how to... Okay, well, I'm not gonna, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's I wouldn't say it's like that. It's like they feed on a lot of ignorance of their constituents, and that's what helps them get the support that they need to become, you know, as much in so much as elections are legitimate in the United States, which they aren't.
Right.
But much more importantly is he has like an entire chapter in this book just bitching about Disney. Which, by the way, is a completely regular, normal thing that an adult does.
Yeah.
a 44-year-old adult that worked in a torture camp and then participated in an imperialist invasion.
No, it makes sense because Disneyland is a torture camp. So he's like, I'm an expert on this.
Exactly right. So he felt like at home ground. But yeah, that's the end of my little contribution. So JT, take it away.
Well, thank you both for that enlightening traipse through through our 44-year-old old man's life. I've collected a for your enjoyment a few highlights from Rhonda Sandwich's campaign page. Let us begin, shall we?
can you please explain this meme to non-Americans? Why do you keep saying Ron the sandwich?
I don't know, because it sounds like Ron DeSantis.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the same reason people say Ben Shapiro and stuff like that. So like, okay. It's wrong and it sounds kind of funny.
I prefer Ron the Satan. That one's very
Ron
good.
Ron the Satan. More like Ron. This guy fucking sucks. Am I right? Got him.
Exactly.
More Ron the Satan is more like Ron the shut the fuck up, motherfucker.
All right,
we got him, boys.
Go on.
He's packing it in. All right. Anyway, one of the things here on his campaign page, he says. Biden has embraced medical authoritarianism, such as unconstitutional COVID vaccine mandates. It's like, for God's sake, like, you can be skeptical of the government and stuff. That's fine. But, like, vaccines, like, I'm sure as a doctor, Hakeem, it drives you nuts. But, like, there's a reason we have vaccines. They work.
Habibi, yeah. he has erectile dysfunction. And the only thing that could possibly explain it is the fact that he got the COVID booster.
That's right.
the cuck booster.
Okay. That makes sense, yeah.
That's the only thing, right? He keeps imagining his wife with black men and he can't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
He says Biden has allowed woke ideology to drive his agenda. We will never surrender to the woke mob and we will leave woke ideology in the dustbin of history.
Yeah.
What does this mean?
It's like, okay, yeah. How many times do you have to say woke in one sentence? But also, what does that even mean? Like, I don't know if you guys have heard, but, you know, we all hate Trump. Yes, Trump bad. But... He is right in that what he said is, like, these losers like DeSantis are just parroting stuff like woke and CRT, these vague buzzwords, and they can't define them. They don't know what these words mean. It's a button to press. But yeah, he used
the perfect
woke
button to press
a bunch of times throughout this whole campaign page. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, you don't even want to define exactly what it is, especially when you're running on a campaign such as his, where there's like this indirect sort of sense of elitism towards your own voters, because you know they're like dumb cretins. At least you think they're dumb cretins. So if you throw like fancy words that they know are scary and are talked about by, you know, these college educated weird people from California that are out here, you know, establishing communism and destroying the country, whatever, you know, those buzzwords then end up working really, really well, but to an extent, because as we can see from his voter turnout, yes, sure, a lot of the people in his voting pool are like that, but a lot aren't and want more like more edge to the conversation. That's where Trump walks in, because it's spontaneous. He invents new terms and phrases, etc., etc., to explain stuff that's already been defined before. But he's got more originality, more spunk, more you know. DeSantis is probably asking his TikTok daughter or whatever the fuck.
Yeah,
you know, he's supposed to run his campaign.
No, you're right. Like, he has to workshop all this stuff and run it by all the policy wonks, and Trump's just like, Meatball Ron, and everybody goes nuts. Like,
exactly.
Ron, he doesn't stand a chance against that. He's got no juice. Anyway, moving on. He closes.
He's the Hillary of the Republican Party, literally.
Yeah, very much. Everybody kind of hates him. All right. He closes that page with, quote, "The past few years have given me a new appreciation for the fragility of our freedoms. Founding fathers were keenly aware of this, studied every republic in history of mankind." Yeah, you heard that right. I'll get to that in a second. But the founding fathers were a bunch of frat boys, and they were living on stolen land, soaked with the blood of the people they had genocided. This obsession Americans have with the founding fathers is absurd. And we just so happen to have a new series titled Every President is a War Criminal, if you're interested to learn more about some of these ghouls. But obvious pandering to patriotic chuds aside, I love that DeSantis's official campaign page says, "Studied every republic in history of mankind." Missing both a they and a the. Like, they can't even proofread. It's like 600 words. Like, we do this three times a week, and oh my God. I do not have high hopes for this team to run a functional government. But you know what? Whatever.
That's where you're, you know, mistaken. That's not their point.
Yeah.
The point isn't their point is to pad their pockets and then, what's it called? Give the kickbacks they need to the relevant interests that they're trying to serve and ruin whatever fucking semblance of a state. I don't know. Maybe they're going to try to saw off Florida. Who knows?
That would be so
maybe
funny.
Maybe they're trying to do a good thing. No, I'm kidding. Jokes aside, as being external to the entire American thing, turning the hate on quote-unquote like flyover states or, you know, quote-unquote forgotten states the South and all that. It's so incredibly dismissive and disgusting. They're regular people living there. Just because they have strange, quote-unquote strange beliefs or quote-unquote incorrect beliefs. The vast majority of Americans are liberals either way. They have incorrect beliefs too. But these people are victims of, number one, lots of propaganda. Number two, ignorance. Mm-hmm. And number three, the material conditions that they live in. The like a correct political project could mobilize these people towards positive ends. It's very silly to dismiss them. But anyway, sorry.
No, that's exactly right. That's an important point. And like, I live in Texas, and Texas is kind of, you know, up until recently, I think Florida's kind of overtaken it. But Texas was the butt of all the liberal jokes. Like, and they say awful things like about people. Like, oh yeah, if you live in Texas, you deserve to die if you get COVID. It's like, Jesus, man. It's like, these are people. These are human beings. Yes, some of them are incredibly ignorant and not pleasant to be around, but man, listen to yourself. You're talking about your fellow workers and stuff. It's not good.
Have you heard the average liberal speak about Russians now?
Yeah, no kidding.
The UN recently celebrated Russian Language Day, and if you're unaware, the UN has several official languages. There's of course Hindi, English, Mandarin, Arabic, Russian, of course, and they celebrated it. And the amount of fucking venom that was spilled on people called for abolishing the UN. People are like, we need to abolish this rotten institution because they're celebrating rapists and child murders.
Oh my god!
It's a language. Calm the fuck down. My god, you know there are other people that speak Russian. Oh my god, you know the vast majority of fucking Ukrainians speak Russian. All right, anyways,
it's nuts. I'm always flabbergasted. The extent to which propaganda works to whip people up into a frenzy. But yeah, topic for another episode. Anyway, the rest of the page that I didn't highlight here is just the usual conservative slop. Like, immigrants are pouring through the border in the millions. They literally say millions. Urban crime is through the roof, which it's not. It's been on a downward trajectory for years. The federal government is making it harder for normal, read, white Americans to attain a middle-class lifestyle. It's not just the federal government.
You're telling me they're lying?
Yeah, what's going
on here?
They
wouldn't just lie, would they?
Go on the internet and tell lies? They also said our president lacks vigor and flounders in the face of our nation's challenges. Okay, that one is true.
Okay. Yeah, but DeSantis doesn't look like he has too much vigor himself.
No, these guys are all on death's door. He's 44 and he's about to keel over.
He doesn't look like he gives that sloppy toppy. I have to
tell you. They said we have to replace the woke mind virus with reality and facts, and merit must trump identity politics. Two things here. One, this poor intern who wrote this tried so hard not to say facts and logic. And two, I've got a video on the meritocracy myth. It is absolute bullshit. You know, law and order, kill immigrants, recruit more poor people to murder people around the world by joining the U.S. military. Typical Republican garbage. All that aside, that's like campaign posturing and stuff. Let's take a look at the kind of person we're dealing with specifically right now in 2023 based on the policies he's already pursuing. All right, first, there's the so-called migrant relocation program. Last September, DeSantis and his team lured 49 immigrants to get on a plane bound for Martha's Vineyard. That's in Massachusetts, for those who aren't aware. It's a pretty fancy place. Side note, when you hear 49 immigrants, he's not picking up like a Swedish dude who just got off the plane and is trying to become a U.S. citizen. No, these are all obviously brown people from south of the U.S. border, because that's the only immigrants they target. Anyway, they lured him onto this plane with the promise of jobs and opportunities. And then that was it. He just dumped them there. And this is wild even for a Republican, because that's human trafficking. And some of these people were minors. That's a felony. It's an even more severe crime than just kidnapping an adult person. Something similar happened pretty recently with a bunch of people being dumped in California, and that is currently being investigated to see whether DeSantis and his goons were behind that one too. It's likely that they were, because if you look at the paper trail, it's something to do with like a Florida company that booked the flights. Then there's the book ban, HB 1476, which allows parents, even just like if it's one single person, to object to the presence of a book in a public school and trigger a mandatory meeting over whether to ban that book. Obviously, in Florida, this ban is used to target books about gender identity and race. Depending on the time frame and who you ask, there have so far been between 175 and 357 books banned since the bill passed, which is, like, that's the one that, I don't know, man, like, conservatives love to yell about, oh, authoritarianism, censorship, and then they're the ones trying to, like, erase these books that are inconvenient to them. It's very transparent. Mm. And then there's the Don't Say Gay bill. I thought we got over this, like, two decades ago. But
that's
this
so gay!
it prohibits the discussion of sexuality and gender identity in school. That means no AIDS crisis, no Stonewall, basically no mention of non-straight people whatsoever. These guys are going to be real upset when they find out about their ancient Greek idols. Those are not the straightest people in history, I regret to inform Ron DeSandwich. Then there's the draconian, like truly heinous abortion ban that prohibits abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. 6 weeks! That is insane. Hakeem, what percentage of people would you say wouldn't be even aware that they're pregnant at 6 weeks? It's nuts.
It's a little early. I'll say that much. It's a little bit early. It's also a little bit dangerous because at that point, it's different between, like, if you have a married couple and they're trying kids for example, versus people who are just, you know, messing about and whatnot. They're maybe not being too careful with protection and whatnot. And then they don't know that they've gotten pregnant as a couple or the woman in question, but she may have gotten pregnant and then she doesn't know for several weeks. Like around that point, roughly, is when you begin to notice.
Yeah.
But then if the gates close on you and you're like, holy shit, like, I have, like, my job and my education and this and that and all these other responsibilities, and the United States is not the sort of country where you could just be like, oh, you know what, like, all right, I guess I'll just have this kid and I'll have these protections. Now there's no maternity leave. A woman has to give birth and go back to work like the next day, like like she's a fucking like she just gave birth to a fowl. Seriously, yeah, it's ridiculous. I think cows get more fucking rest time. It's ridiculous.
Sorry. But, sorry, that one got me off. Yeah, that was good. Sorry, continue.
But, it is dangerous because then it will encourage women who are in these dire situations. Like, I can't risk getting pregnant and losing, like, my income because of this or losing my job or whatnot. It's dangerous to such a point that it will drive people to go and try to do the things illegally or through,
back alley.
Like, alleyway. Yeah, exactly. And this will just cause infections and deaths. If you really, really, really gave a shit, about this, a much better approach would be actually, ironically enough, something that these people would want to do, much more sex ed.
Yep.
And easy access to contraception. Because then you'll actually prevent, even at the point of inception, the things that these people believe in. Anyways, I don't want to disparage certain people's beliefs when it comes to this too much, because who knows why exactly they think the way they think, if it's based on philosophical or religious or what have you. But at the end of the day, we have to look at concrete reality. And if that means a 18-year-old girl is going to have to go and, like, fucking get a horrific infection and die of sepsis, because then,
what have you accomplished there? Yeah, that's not very pro-life.
Yeah.
That's not very big chungus of you.
Yeah, no, it's not only not pro-life. It's also, by the way, if I remember right, it's like up to 15 weeks for incest and rape.
Yeah.
So up to 15, so after 15 weeks for incest. Yeah. For incest.
Yeah. Once you've gotten over the trauma of the incest, yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Is it? I thought this was a Kentucky thing. Do people in Florida fuck their siblings? Is that a thing?
I mean, there's a reason Florida's always in the headlines.
That is, oh my God. It's painful, and I feel very bad for the women in that area, and specifically, I mean, maybe this is me being a little bit selfish, but the medical professionals who see this is wrong but can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
I think there's even a prison sentence now if you were to defy. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And it's particularly frustrating because, like you said, these people, the Republicans, who are, so pro-life and against abortions, are also the ones who are completely opposed to any kind of sex education in schools. They're trying to remove it. And if you look at the statistics, it's these counties or states where these far-right policies are enacted that have the highest rates of abortions, because people are getting pregnant because they don't have proper access to information or contraceptives. Like, it's you, Gopnik, it's your thing. It's a snake that eats its own ass. but anyway, let me continue. We'll move on here.
Please do, please do.
There's the ban on African-American studies on high school campuses. And the reasoning for that, the very airtight logic, is DeSantis says the class, quote, lacks educational value. So he just...
Yeah, but if DeSantis says so...
Yeah, so it must be true. We just don't want to learn about black history at all. No, no...
Yeah, DeSantis also said that the female orgasm doesn't exist. I mean...
Let me just take this history book and clip out this section about Martin Luther King Jr. It's like, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. You can't teach American history without black history. It's wild.
You literally said that prisoners in Guantanamo who are protesting by starving themselves are doing a jihad against America.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Literal quote. When they're starving themselves, they're doing a jihad against America, so force feeding them is okay. But like, after that... We'll definitely censor that. Yeah.
How do we accomplish a deprogram live show? Through jihad.
Inshallah. All right.
And then there's the one that Hakeem mentioned earlier, the Stop Woke Act, which is usefully vague to the far right, but basically it prohibits, in Ron's words, quote, pernicious ideologies, and that he believes in, quote, education, not indoctrination. The main target of the Stop Woke Act was CRT, which, as you mentioned, Hakeem, was not even taught in those schools. Anyway, thankfully that one got shot down. And also one more tiny ray of hope came just the other day when another one of Ron's bills got shot down in court. He wanted to ban medical care for trans kids, prohibiting puberty blockers and other treatments which are proven to reduce the risk of suicide. And the judge absolutely blasted DeSantis too, which was a really nice surprise. You don't usually see that from the judges. But TLDR, he said, gender identity is real. We've been using these treatments for both trans and non-trans kids for over a decade. So if you prohibit it for trans kids, there's no justification for that because we're still going to keep using it for non-trans kids. That's pointless. And then the treatment literally only affects the patient, nobody else. So mind your damn business. Mm. So that guy, absolute Chad, love him for that. Because like there is a scientific consensus there, and DeSantis is just trying to score more brownie points with his bigoted followers. So that's just a small smattering of the bills that DeSantis has had his grubby little paws on. And here's the thing about Ron DeSantis. At the end of the day, he's an uncharismatic, unpleasant, weirdly old-looking 44-year-old white dude who holds some of the most repugnant beliefs imaginable. But as we heard from his biography and his career up to this point, this rhetoric has gotten him elected again and again.
By who? I don't find who votes for this shit.
That's the thing. It's like you don't realize just how popular these policies are. And it's because the far right, the reaction, is on the rise in the United States in a way that it hasn't been in quite some time. It's always been latent, but now it's out in the open like you wouldn't believe. DeSantis may be a giant dweeb, but he's just a vessel for these policies. He might not win, but this is where American conservatism is going. And what happens when a young, charismatic fascist takes his place? Like, even just like a 44-year-old dude who looks 44.
44.
History has shown us that it doesn't take much to sway the average person towards bigotry and xenophobia. Yeah. So, I guess to all our LGBT comrades, all our black and brown comrades, please... do be careful out there, especially in places like Florida, as this rhetoric continues to escalate. And to the rest of our audience, use your relative privilege to just, you know, stand in the way of anyone who would cause a comrade harm. At the end of the day, in the United States at least, we're all we've got. Ron DeSantis is just the flavor of reaction today, but it's a problem we're going to continue to face.
That's an incredibly important point. He is just a representative of a kind of trend in society, I guess you could say. And as a result, even when like the typical liberal bullshit is like, oh, Trump is defeated, Biden isn't. Yeah. No, but first of all, Biden's a piece of shit too, and he has his own issues and the movement that he represents. But the things that led to Trump still exist, even if Trump were to, you know, likewise with DeSantis, likewise with all these other people. The issue is to combat these trends in society generally, not just single individuals, right? This is just a face of a particular movement. It's a flavor of the month. This guy will be gone, and in 2 years, it'll be another dude. Yep. It won't fucking matter, right? But the core, you know, conditions that led rise to him being so popular, these could be emboldened, grow in base support, as well as in funding, and could actually achieve serious harm if a proper approach isn't maintained against this sort of stuff. And that won't fucking come through the electoral system of the United States, but this is a conversation for another day.
Yeah. Yeah, what it comes down to is, like, we're maybe, I don't know, two election cycles away from, like, Patriot Front and whatever other fascist groups organizing a super PAC and being able to basically buy or at least sincerely influence the Republican Party to adopt some of these policies that are very popular in places like Florida, like the draconian abortion stuff, the anti-LGBT stuff, just the absolute dregs of humanity, knee-jerk, super reactionary stuff that makes it dangerous for entire categories of people to just exist.
Yeah.
And once we see that implemented at the federal level, that is when things start to get very dangerous very quickly for a lot of people. And then we're not really sure what happens at that point. There's a lot that's up in the air right now. The United States is not on a good trajectory. It hasn't been for quite some time as its internal contradictions continue to sharpen as we continue to lose our grip on places like Latin America and as places like Africa pivot towards China. What's left for, you know, this once mighty hegemon as its empire continues to decline? Is it just going to turn that fascist instinct inward? We'll see. Mm. We'll see. That's kind of the way it looks like it's going.
Of which we have several episodes relevant to these discussions. Yeah, yeah. Please do check out our back catalog.
Yeah.
And support us.
Yeah, so I guess on that incredibly positive note, we'll wrap up today. That was Ron DeSantis. That was Meatball Ron. That was everybody's favorite Florida man.
Loser.
He's a scrub. He's a loser. As are the rest of the candidates. If you enjoyed this kind of deep dive into a political candidate for president, let us know. If this is too U.S. centric, let us know.
I'd love to do this for other places too. Yeah, not just U.S. That would be a great time. Let us know what you guys think.
Yeah, drop some candidates that you want to see covered. In the comments, either on the Discord, we always check that, or on the Patreon page. Speaking of which, please do have a look at the Patreon. That allows us to be completely independent and keep the lights on, and maybe even buy Hakeem a fan. We'll see.
I'll exactly, buy him the nicest maybe. Fucking fan. Gold-plated.
Maybe it's in the budget.
With all that being said, this has been the D Program. I'm JT.
I'm Hakeem.
And I'm Ugoplink. And stop smoking, I guess.
Exactly right.
Begrudgingly.